Good evening, everybody. Hope everybody had a Frelich of Chanukah. And we're holding in Derech Etz Chaim, Ois Dalet. So he had said in Ois Gimel that it said, Sechel Adam, Sechel Torah, and Beis, he said, are parallel. And there's real oir in it. He gave a mashal to Torah with Eish, where the primary mashal was the fact that an ember doesn't seem to contain much in it, and yet when you blow in it, some fire comes out, which is really kind of different than anything else that has potential. It's the ember itself doesn't contain the fire, but rather the fire is somehow potential energy in the ember. Now Dalet is going to speak about Oisis Aleph Beis. Ukva pirshaza b'sefa zaya Aleph Beis. So it said before that every word and letter is like a fire, that when you blow on it, something comes out. Ve'ein hadavah mashal, ela atzmi kipshuto mamish. Ki kol ha'oysi shenarayim b'teira, kulon moiris al esim ushtayim oiris ha'mitzav lemalo, ve'oiris ha'heim al yoinim mazhirim al ha'oysis. So he says here something which on the surface of it seems very mystical, and I would like to take it away from the mysticism and bring it into something more that we can get a handle on it, because when you start fooling around these things in a mystical way, it's like the Aleph contains a special energy in it, and the Beis contains a special energy in it, and so on. We really, really are not talking about anything 2 feet on the ground, so it's not a very, very positive way to look at it. I'd like to try to explain it the way my Rebbeim would explain these things and so on. The simplest Aleph Beis is Aleph Beis, the simplest writing type of language would be hieroglyphics, where every single thing has something that represents it. So bird has a little birdie represents it, and so on, pictographs of sorts. That's the simplest unit. That's not the way language, written language, is built. It's not the way spoken language is built, really. Rather, there are individual units that, when combined, produce every type of meaning. It's true about speech, it's true about DNA, it's true about a lot of other things that have letters, and combined, they have meaning. Now, let's take a look at a few items about this. This is very different than just adding more stuff. For instance, when I want to build a wall around your yard, so I take wooden slats, and I keep adding wooden slats, till I have a big enough wall to encompass the backyard. But the slats themselves are just a fraction of the wall, and that's it. Every slat is like every other slat. It just needs a certain amount of slats. So it's a question of quantity, and then whatever it is, it's doing the job. That is one type of aggregate. There's another type of aggregate, and that is the aggregate of letters, sound. Every letter has its own metzias, and it has a name for it. An aleph is an aleph. It looks a certain way, and it has its own sound, and in its own right, it usually doesn't mean anything. When you combine it with other letters, you create a meaning. So that means each letter has a certain havanat. In dikduk, we know that all the root words have three letters. It does have shrashim and various combination of chop, various combination of these letters will give you different words. So that means that the different words are actually a combination of items that have their own meaning. Let's take an example. Rav Shamshel Feil Hirsch many times points out this type of root, whereas any letters that any two letters are roots. So let's take something like zar, which means a stranger. So pizer means to scatter, nazar means to estrange yourself from something, gazar is to cut something off, and so on. The perpazar is to scatter. The different letters. So the zar has in itself a commonness, but different letters expressing different angles of it. Somebody I saw, and I think it's a Hakdama to Machberes Menachem, the Motzei Or has a list of single letters and their personality. And certain letters have a very strong personality, like the Reish, Tzadik, and Ches, like from Retzach. Each one of them is a harsh letter, and depending on where you enunciate the letter from and so on, there's something in the character of each letter that you can give meaning to it. If I can think of something similar to it, when you have a complex molecule, so an excellent chemist can look at it, at the different parts of it, and say the fact that it has such and such a chain over here strongly suggests that it would be good for such and such a thing, and so on. So the different elements that are in their in the makeup suggest something. So even though the molecule itself has thousands and thousands of different chains, but each chain itself contributes something to the overall, something that's unique, but it has its own character. So the letters in the Aleph Beis is the same thing. Each letter has a character, and combined, it creates meaning. This Sefer Yetzirah starts off by saying how many words can build from a certain amount of letters, permutations, combinations, etc. So every ois, he says, has a certain kedusha in its own right as an ois, and the oiris go down on that ois. So each letter has in itself its own emphasis. It's not the pshat that, in English, or any other language, the words are what's important. It was just a question of how to write a certain word, which is a certain alphabet. The letters themselves are simply tools, means, and not, beetles in their own right. In Lashon Kodesh, it's different. Now he adds something. Mikanim sheches kedusha Torah, which is a Torah, tefil mezuzah kisa kodesh. He's pointing out something. There is in halacha a difference between tashmish kedusha and tashmish mitzvah. Tashmish mitzvah meikra din don't need kniza, just can't discard of it to be signed away. Tashmish kedusha need kniza. Tashmish kedusha are anything that has letters, unless parashas written in it. Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, or Tashmish Kedusha. Tzitzis is Tashmish Mitzvah. So the written word is the Tashmish Kedusha, and that's where the Kedusha is because it's attached to something higher. Then he adds, Olafia Kedusha Sheba Nechtovim, and depending on the person's writing it, what he had in mind and what type of kedusha wrote it with, that's how much kedusha there'll be. Ashras kedusha on the oisis. This is unique. In tashmish mitzvah, it doesn't really make a difference because tashmish mitzvah are self-contained units. A pair of tzitzis. That's all it is. It's something which is called Tashmish Kedusha, which is Sefer Torah, Tanakh, and so on. Their Kedusha comes from the writing it in such a way. With Lishma, it's the process of bringing it out that creates that Kedusha, and this is where it's Naveh from them. Kach Tigah Shavu'ar Sha'ar Sehem Asyasehem. Ulekach Sefer Torah שיש בו פסול אחד נפסל כולי, כי אין האור עמד אסלב כראוי, שתמושך מן הקדוש של העם בכוח הקריאה בו. Now he says, a Sefer Torah that has any psul in it is pasul, because it doesn't have the right ha'ara, and therefore no kedusha can come to people with this. So I'm not sure, he's saying a Sefer Torah has even a small psul, it becomes pasul completely. And what about tzitzis? If tzitzis have a psul, it's something that passes it. So why don't we say why is it a Sefer Torah told an oisis? If you have tzitzis and you're missing two tzitzis, you know, so that there's a real suffix, you can't wear the rest of it. So what's different over here? What's unique over here? So I think the point that's unique over here is that, first of all, he's just saying that it's exactly what I said, that since each letter is the Kedusha, draws Kedusha to a specific word, a specific Ayis Tahara, so it's something that is not, it's something that is lacking the ha'ara for it to go on it. Because it's bothersome what he means. And a tzitzis that's missing something vital is not a pasul kulay. What he seems to be saying is that even the parts that I'm not reading or using also becomes pasul, because the ha'ara, so Marshall, I'm reading Sefer Bereishis and the psul is in Sefer Vayikra. So why do I care? It's not even something that I'm the one that's doing it. I'm not shy to that, to wherever it is I'm reading from. So why would it make a difference? So he says, because since the oisis together draw down a certain ha'ara, it doesn't come down if there's any part that's passing it. V'noshel inyan, ke oiris oimna oisis, v'oisin ha oiris klulos kol abchinas ha'prati sheish ha'kol ois vois, kashe zacharti, ach ein magil l'nishmas oiris eis hein, ala oirach atzasing magichalas. So even though he says that what makes this are all these individual oisis, what the person sees is one big oir, like the Gachelas. So that would be very similar to, he says, the Nishma Sayroya sees only Or Sasim. He doesn't perceive that it's coming from a lot of different places. So the Marshal, let's take again an analogy of somewhere else. If a person hears a nice musical piece being played, he doesn't have to be aware of the person has to be aware of what is going into making this music. The music is music because it's music. And as long as it's fine, it's good. Here he says because the Sefer Torah, it's beautiful is not in any particular in the words, but in the kolliyus of the kedusha, it just doesn't have it. V'nashalini ka oisa osis oisa is close to abchinas apratis kol ois vois. I see the whole or together. Let's take a muscle. Whenever you're teaching somebody, let's say music. So the person who hears the music and he doesn't understand the different sounds that go into it, hears a one integrated piece. When a person talks, unless I'm a speech therapist, I'd be very, very hard put to locate the different sounds that go into making the word. So when you talk, I hear the integrated version of all those letters together. I miss out having a sense of the specific ones. Masha'enkin over here by the Eures Oisis, Boisan's close call, Pekinus Aprochel Kois Vois, Kezachati, Ach Ein Magil Anishan Aruya Seis Ahein, Elo Erech Tzotsim HaGachalas. All the person sees is just the Gachalas. Just like when a person watches a big grand concert, a person doesn't detect all the different the pieces and things. He detects the entire thing as one. As the person goes over it again and again and again, those iris begin to flame up and they come out like a flame. So he says, when a person tries to understand, so he says he's koire v'choize v'koire. He reads it again and again. And he tries to focus in on particular ones. All those orders do come out. So the way in which the Nitzaitzis will come out, he says, is that the person is trying very hard for it to be omer on it, the koyre v'chayze v'koyre, and he reads it again and again, u'mischazeg l'zboinen, and he's trying hard to be mispoinen. So the what greets us when we hear Torah is the entire thing put together, and therefore, you know, there's a general sense of all the nekudas in you know, as one unit. It takes effort for a person to go nekuda by nekuda and to be aiming on these nekudas. So he's saying over here that when a person tries to understand and keeps going over and over again and keeps trying to understand, he'll bring it out. In a certain sense, what he's saying over here is a very appropriate metaphor for the Bri and Klolius. When a person looks around the world and he sees the world, the person is extremely, extremely his first impression is just grandeur, and you know, wow, awesome. That's the Oyer Echa that we're talking about. A general sense of wow, how great it is, how fantastic it is, how wonderful it is. But it's only when the person it's only when the person begins to think about it and to keep analyzing each part, that he realized more and more the particular nekudas and the chesed and the giluyim, etc., comes from each nekuda. This inyan over here, that it's divided into letters, and the letters are very, very important, and each one has an R and so on and so forth, it comes together, makes everything, you know, together and so on. That's a mahalach which teaches us that Torah comes to us on two oifanim. One is prat and one is klal. There's the general, this more specific nekudas that gets swallowed up in the whole, and a person's aiming on it when he learns it piece by piece. When he describes over here what it is that it takes to get to those points, is Hine kol kach mislah Torah seviyetzer shazir chalas. The person's own push to keep trying to understand what's in it is what works out the different pratim. So the Torah comes to us in prat and in klal, in the klolius inyan, and then there is, so what does the Torah mean? Read it. And then there's each prat, and prat can be taken apart. And each letter can have meaning in this context because it was made that way. The reason it's made that way is that it's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't find words, and this is a very convenient way to get around it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant that the Bria should follow a certain pattern. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a world that has in itself Prat and Klal together. And the prat means each specific one. So the what Ramchal is saying over here is the Tchilas Tfisa is general and sort of loosely fitting in everything. That's the Tchilas Tfisa. It becomes a lot more a real Tfisa when it starts becoming specific. When I begin to understand what is this thing, which seems to be one thing, but it's not. What is it composed of? What goes into it? The same way, it's like saying, what ha'aris are there in this particular word? Okay, let's see a little bit more. Ha'tere kipateh shifaitet salah. V'hine, v'yuis ha'shal heves mislahetes. So as the steel is warming up, it has all sorts of colors. So the oil itself has different tzvayim, different kochos, and and it says that there are a few inyan they can take out from it. Omnam. What comes out of this inyan over here, that the Torah consists of all the different details woven together, is that there are honestly many panim la Torah. But for kibla kadmoinim shochol shayish mesisoy yesh kulam b'Torah. So as the person is mislahit, that brings it out. That's the moshe keeps using when you have a gachelas and you keep blowing on it. That's what brings out all these hidden iris. Each and every person has a more specific this is part of the, I guess, what's the right word for the parallel between the what he's saying over here about the Kama Panim Torah and now Ef Shishim Ribu Panim Torah to the Oysa is Atzam Me'idim B'Shishim Ribui. So it means that the each person who learns Torah, who has Torah and learns it, has a different take on it than any other person. The different neshamas that are in Klal Yisrael are capable. Once it's in Yisrael, the which explains the different mahalchim of the different mahalchim that included in the big oyer, you can also do something which will allow for the small oyers to be there. It means Torah has potential, bli gvul, and that potential is equal to shishim ribu. However, we translate that in terms of, how to translate what is the real amount of pshat, quote unquote, but a large amount. That when you bang on a sella, you get all these iris. The So when we take a look at the Dvar Hashem, and we take a look at Torah, and we don't have a clear sense of what's inside Torah, we have a hard time getting it out over here. Once you mislaiv it, that's when the juices start going, and you come up with a lot of pshatim. I guess this is a I don't know what the right word for the a Musa Haskell and so on to understand how it's possible. Someone asked the following shaila, a shaila's tam. If you think Hasidus is right, how did the world exist for a few thousand years without Hasidus? The answer is, for the world of Hasidus, you needed to start it. If you don't start it, then that world is not chubba to this world. It's not going to do it. All of the minhagim is that there are all you have besides halachas, you have many, many different ways of being mekayem it. They're all reflections of this inyan of the Torah mitzvah. But it all means that tachlis, they're all in they're all already there. So the shishim ribu and the shishim ribu is something which is an incredible amount, and yet if you have to call there, nothing is there. It's only when somebody begins to blow on it. His particular zelumase. That's the Kurdish science over here. So basically, we'll sum up the Tuprakim, whatever, Tupiskus, that the Torah itself consists of pieces that form together bigger nyanim. We will be able to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu both from the small nyanim and the Klolius Inyan. So the oyer, the general oyer, and the oyer is specific. Each person in Klal Yisrael has a specific netiyah for a specific oyer. Each one has the type of Torah that Talmud Chacham, all of us going to say, it's not going to be type of Torah Talmud Chacham basically is going to say. Each one has his own teva exactly, and when he does it, L'shem Shemayim, he brings out his pshat from the Torah. Okay, we'll hold it here.